Welcome to RunFit, Canada's running fitness and health program. On this month's episode, I was in conversation with Michelle Precourt about her expertise on mindfulness, so stay tuned for that. But first, let's go to my conversation with Dennis Wager about how he sets a positive mindset. Check this out.
Joining me today is Dennis Wager. He's the president of Rockbusters Incorporated. He is a established rock and concrete removal specialist, and he is a licensed blaster. And he's here today to talk about his work and how he keeps a positive mindset. Welcome, Dennis.
Thank you. That's really great to be here.
Yeah. So congratulations on your corporation. And I want to know, when did your interest begin in blasting?
That's a good question, actually. You know, it's kind of evolved over the years. You know, I started off basically doing landscaping, fencing, retaining walls, that sort of thing, years and years ago. Then that just evolved into excavating, and that evolved into demolition. And then it just kind of got more specialized in blasting and taking concrete apart. I kind of learned the knack or the art, as maybe you want to call it, of how things come apart when you're trying to break them. And it's just been kind of, you know, following my curiosity, but it's really been developed like over a lifetime.
Yeah. So, Dennis, did you always have a passion for like rocks? Because you do like rocks.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? And it's just like when you first think about rocks, you think, oh, how boring is rocks, right? But then you start looking into like, oh, I can do this with rocks. I can break them. I can cut them. I can make some fancy, really beautiful things out of them. And it really starts with the problem. Like people encounter rocks in their way, if they're excavating or they got to build a house or whatever. It could be a tunnel job. It could be whatever it is. And it's always the problem or the project of how do I get rid of these rocks? That's where it starts. And then from that, you can spin it into what can I make out of this rock? And you can make very beautiful things, you know, to go into new housing and stuff.
So you have to have a great imagination.
That's where it starts. That's what my grade five teacher said. I wasn't good at a lot, but I had a good imagination.
You know, tell me the first time, your first client that you removed this big, gigantic rock.
Yeah, well, I think probably the first one was just doing, you know, like we do a lot of jobs in basements. So one of the first ones was a job in Whistler we did where they had a three-story house, but the basement floor was really useless. It just had the stairs that led up to the main floor or second floor. So our job was to go in there and take out all of the rock. So we drill our holes. We have expanding grout that we make called RockX, and we just mix the powder with water and you pour it in the holes, and it expands overnight and just cracks the rock. So the next morning, you just come in and chip out what you've cracked.
Yes, but with an imagination that you have since grade five, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is it difficult to convince the clients to, yes, you know, I can see it, this, do this and do that, like when it comes to sustainability and it comes to health and wellness, because it could turn out to be such a wonderful idea.
Yeah, I think things are evolving a lot, right? Like you have the public really learning themselves of what is available. The technology for rock breaking is evolving a lot, you know, over the years, and it's quite good now. And it's to the point where a lot more people are coming to the realization that they can make use of their space, right?
Yes.
And it's also, you know, the money part too. Like now that real estate prices are so high, it's really not that expensive to take out the rock and make use of the unused space.
Yeah, it's like a water fountain, you know, a gym.
Whatever you want to put in, yeah. Yeah, it's all possible now.
Yes. Now, you have a background underwater safety in the U.S. Army. You were involved
The U.S. Army on underwater blasting.
Yes.
They have situations where they have seven harbors that they want to deepen for bigger ships into the harbors. And they have like sea life such as manatees and dolphins and such down there, and they're just not allowed to use high explosives.
Wow.
So we have two different methods, or actually three. We have hydraulic splitters, we have low explosives, and we have our expanded grout. So the low explosives, ROY-X, is what they are interested in. So it doesn't give off the shock waves that are harmful or possibly kill the sea life. So that's where their interest started. So we did a lot of testing and stuff back and forth with them, and Things were going really well. It looked like it was all viable. And then COVID came. So I got kind of squashed, just kind of ran out of funding that Army officials couldn't fly. So it just kind of ended that project.
But it was a really good skill because you're a licensed blaster.
Right. Yeah, it was. We did some good testing in underground situations to prove our product. And the results were very amazing. So just a matter of that catching on to more and more people. And I think a lot of it is more people becoming aware of there is solutions when you can't blast with high explosives. There is alternatives and options.
Mm-hmm. And here you are. I was not going to say Ghostbusters get blasted.
Yeah, yeah. Not Ghostbusters. Yeah. Close.
You know what I mean?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah. You know, Dennis, so who are your clients?
Yeah, well, our clients are people like homeowners, if they have a rock in their front yard, like we're just doing an estimate today, actually, for a homeowner in White Rock that has a boulder at their front yard. They just want rid of it. To the Army, to a lot of contractors, big excavation contractors, they're doing the deep excavations for towers and stuff. They're encountering boulders. So we'll have our guys go in and split them, because a lot of times they're like the size of a Volkswagen and you can't load them into a truck. So we'll break them down smaller so that the machines can load them into trucks. And we do like luxury homes. We do a lot of high-end stuff. We do a lot of tunneling jobs. We did a job in the Fraser River, 120 feet underwater. We had to break some concrete that was like all that weighs 120 feet down. We worked with a team of 20 divers. We trained them on how to use our splitters. They would dive down. They could only stay down for 20 minutes at a time and break the concrete and come back up. And even like jobs like tunnel boring, they have these big TBMs, tunnel boring machines. And they get stuck sometimes and they have problems they can't get through. So we'll get involved with our equipment or our tools or our people and kind of help do these oddball things that come up.
Yes. And I mean, you have some themes coming out, like Christmas, the holidays.
Yeah. With the marketing team, we're just talking about doing some blasts for fun. It'd be so great to just do like a shot blowing up some pumpkins at Halloween. Could blow up a Christmas tree at Christmas time, right?
Oh my!
Those kind of things, just for fun, for marketing, but just to draw attention and awareness to what's possible. When people start to really think about what they can do, it's cool, and I really enjoy helping people learn my trade and what I do.
Yes, it's specialized. It's education, right?
And
raising awareness, and so tell us about it takes a positive mindset. And as I said, specialized. So can you share some advice, tips?
Yes. Well, I think just my way is you fake it till you make it. It's put one foot in front of the other. I believe nobody has all the answers and it's all, life is like all learning, right? And that's, I believe where I got to where I am is by making mistakes, not beating myself up so much over the mistakes and just learning from that and being curious and trying, right? A lot of people are supportive and they just, get on board and work together with people and build relationships and move forwards.
Yes. I mean, do you read books, positive books or resources, or are you?
I watch just a lot on social media, stuff like that. I do some reading and stuff, not a lot, but most of it is just kind of working together with people and, I like drawing. I draw stuff and just kind of inquire about how things work,
Mm-hmm. So it is, it's talking about a balanced lifestyle, right? And, knowing when nutrition comes in, how much you should be working. As an entrepreneur, we're always working.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's
times. I fall into that trap, to be honest. Sometimes I'll just kind of work too much and then I just got to take a break and I'll just go for a walk. My thing is I like to go to the beach and walk along the beach, things like that. It just takes some time to unwind. And I try to eat healthy as much as I can, but sometimes you end up just kind of getting a rhythm going with work and you want to see it through and then you can allow yourself a break. But it is important to take that break and enjoy yourself too.
Yeah. So, speaking of which, you have a podcast.
I do.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. the podcast is called Rocky Road. It's been really great. It's got 21 episodes recorded now. We're on all the platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, and on our website. And we've had some fantastic guests on there. We've had other blasters. We've had other people on there that are in our line of work that do rock breaking, demolition. We've had people from the UK, from, you know, Australia, lots from the States, all over the place. And we've had a lot of people, like celebrities on the show, and people that have had challenges in their life or their career. And the good part of the show is how to break through those challenges and hurdles and find success in what we do.
Yeah, it's between a rock and a hard place.
That's it. That's the name of my book.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
So how did that come about, having your memoir?
Yeah, the book, well, it all started through a friend of mine who we have in common, Deb, and it really started with her introducing me to Shelley, who was the publisher of the Pursuit 365 book, and I got involved in that, and I became a co-author. I wrote my part of the book, and that did very well. It became a bestseller very quickly.
Nice.
And in multiple countries. And then one day Deb said, I'm going to go down to Orlando to do a media boot camp. And I said, hey, that sounds like a good idea. I'm coming with you. So off we went. So that's how that started.
Yeah, and sometimes just putting yourself out there.
It was. It wasn't normal for me to just pack up and go like that, but it was a lot of fun. And I met Angel down there, and now Angel's publisher for my book that's coming out.
How exciting.
So it'll be out in the next few months.
So how exciting that is. I mean, talking about a positive mindset, I mean, you know, that is therapeutic, right? Having
a
podcast and writing.
Yeah, the biggest takeaway for me for the podcast has been a lot of these guys I've had on the show have been friends of mine and colleagues for many, many years. And, you know, you'll have like a half an hour conversation, or you'll have like a 10-minute conversation or phone call here and there. But to actually interview a person on the podcast, it just seems to really deepen the relationship with the person. You know, you find out more about them, they find out more about you. And it's really been great to solidify things like that. And the same with the book. The book has really been, like you said, therapeutic. It's a way to kind of go back in time to, you know, my starting of this journey, and unfold things and explain it in a way that maybe the next guy can take that and make some use of my lessons in life, right? And, you know, the good and bad that I've gone through, there's always things to learn, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't stop learning. Like, here you are, you're a licensed blaster. A book's coming out, a memoir. You have a successful podcast. Did you think you would be doing all this?
Hey, I'm just getting started.
You're just getting started, so watch out for Dennis Fager.
I got big plans.
You got big plans. Listen, that's wonderful. Because I'm going to ask what's next for you.
That's it, yeah. So what's next is we're really expanding. So our model now is we have smart cans, we call them, which are small, like 10-foot by 10-foot shipping containers that house all of our tools, drills, and things so we can go do these jobs. The next thing is we're going to start to develop bigger equipment, like excavators with drills and such. We can do bigger jobs. Mm. And then we're now starting to expand out into different areas. So we're now doing work in Ontario. We're doing work in New York. We're doing work in California. And we're going to get different locations set up so that we'll be at least around North America. And we're also working on some projects or maybe supplying product to jobs in other countries, such as Oman, we're working on currently. So, yeah, it's very exciting. Like, the potential is big. I never thought about it at first, but, you know, really the world is 2/3 rock. And there's always lots of building, right?
Yes. And I mean, for people who are watching and they want to follow in your footsteps, say they want to do what you do, what would you suggest?
Grab a jackhammer.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
or walk in. I mean, you have to, you know.
Well, just to contact us, you know, like, we have lots of opportunity. We have training courses.
Excellent.
Things, you know, like, and a lot of it is mentoring young people in this industry.
Yes.
You know, like, a lot of the generation is getting older and wanting to pass along our knowledge and experience to young people so that we, you know, everybody can grow.
Yes.
like now my son is my partner in the business. Brian, he's doing very well, and he's already learned a lot of things. Like he's out running an excavator today, and you know, I've done the same with him. Just taught him like, hey, just do this, try this, move this dirt over there, and practice, right?
Yes.
It's like anything, just do it, just practice.
Just do it. And people want to reach out to you, where can they go?
They can go to our website, www.rockbusters.com, or they can call me at 604-690-0100.
Thank you so much, Dennis.
Yeah, that was great.
Joining me today is Michelle Precourt. She is an accomplished HR consultant in corporate mindfulness, and she's here today to talk about her professional career and also talk about the importance to have corporate mindfulness in a retention strategy that works. Welcome, Michelle.
Thanks so much for having me here, Christine. It's a real pleasure.
Yeah, so I really love what you do, but I would like to tell the viewers and listeners, why did you decide to pursue a career in human resources?
Well, truth be told, Christine, I was inspired by a good friend of mine. And Val, if you're listening, this story is about you. So this was many years ago, and I knew I wanted to go back to school, but I really wasn't sure what to do. And it's really quite overwhelming for young people. And even, you know, folks that go back to school later in life, it's still overwhelming. But at that time, this good friend of mine, Val, she was taking her certificate in human resources through the University of Manitoba. And that's right, friends, I am a prairie girl, true and true. And I thought, you know what, I really like Val. She's still a good friend of mine, 20 some odd years later. And at one point I reported into Val, and she was a really great leader. And so this inspiration came from her. And I knew that she was taking this course. I asked her some questions. And from there, I decided to enroll. And that's where it all started for me, was learning the foundations of the HR profession through post-secondary. And then from there, I worked in corporate HR and operations for about 15 years. And since then, I've been running my own consulting firm, Mindful HR Services. And I try and blend these interesting worlds, Christine. You mentioned just a little bit at the beginning there. So traditional HR practices, 100%, I offer those services. But I also bring in my yogic and meditation philosophies into my work. And sometimes I like to joke, it's a little bit like putting spinach in the lasagna, where the kids don't know that they're eating vegetables. And so I weave mindfulness into the work that way. And other times it's very structured. We're going to, you know, attend this session led by Michelle, and it's part of an employee wellness program.
That's wonderful. Like, I mean, you're sharing how you practice mindfulness and also do like nature, right? Nature is, when you think about it, it's, you know, gives you inspiration, creativity.
So much. It is 100% an outlet for me. Getting out into nature is definitely a way of just getting out of my head, connecting with Mother Earth, so to speak, and listening to the trees, the sounds of nature, the birds, all of it.
Yes, and your dog too, right?
My dog. Did I tell you what my dog's name is, Christine?
No, please let us know.
It's Chickpea. It's Chickpea.
Cute.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
And how did you come up with Chickpea, if I may ask?
Well, it was really a joke. A few years ago on LinkedIn, I'm quite active on LinkedIn, one of my colleagues, there was some sort of post about tell me something about yourself that's not work related, something like this. And I decided to share that while I'm not a dog owner at this time, when we get a dog, her name is going to be Chickpea. Didn't really think too much of it. And then almost a year ago in February, coming up to a year, we adopted a dog through Forever Freed. It's a Lower Mainland rescue, if anyone's familiar with it. They do some really excellent work. And this little dog came all the way from Korea. And at the time, you know, you're preparing for this animal to come into your life. And we were talking about dog names. My husband kept on saying, well, it's got to be Chickpea. I'm like, no, that's too silly. I'm like, so I was trying to convince him on other names. Ultimately, we stuck with Chickpea. And everyone loves, absolutely loves this name. It's unique. I've never met another Chickpea.
That's wonderful. And, you know, I love what you do, like what you say, I should say. You can practice mindfulness any place, anywhere, anytime. I never thought of that. So the viewers and listeners, like, that is so wonderful. I never thought of that. So you can do that.
Absolutely. You know, we live in a place, I know, Christine, you're downtown Vancouver. It is a really busy place. And sometimes you get stuck in traffic, right? It can take you, you know, 45 minutes to go 5 kilometers. And that is a great place to just sit, you know, notice your hands on the steering wheel, notice what's in front of you, maybe tune into the sound of the music, maybe bring some breath work into the music that you're listening to, really anytime, anywhere, any place. Even right now, Christine, if you place your feet flat beneath you, that is one simple way of being mindful with your body.
Yeah, so that's just wonderful. That's a great tip, and I'm going to start doing that. So thank you. So how do you implement mindfulness in, like, remotely, virtually, in person? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there's a variety of strategies. So let me share a couple of examples. So for remote workers, you really need to be intentional and leverage technology. If technology doesn't work, no one's, you know, it's like any other meeting. If you can't hear, if you can't see, if people are distracted, you got to leverage technology. One of the great ways in tools like Zoom, for example, there's polling questions, or Slido is a favorite of mine. Slido and Mentimeter, those are a couple of tools where you're actually leveraging your phone. You're getting people to check in on your phone. So it's really important to keep people engaged and really focused on whatever it is that you're doing. And in those mindfulness sessions that I deliver remotely, it's really... it moves fast, even though we might be doing something slow. There's a bit of a nuance there. It's really about keeping folks engaged. So that's about remote workers. For in-person deliveries, you got to work the room. I know you're very familiar with this, Christine, in your line of work. Watch body language. So I may have a really scripted program laid out, and I'm noticing that people are lethargic. So I'm going to get people on their feet. You can be mindful. You can meditate standing. That is a true fact. Maybe we need to go for a mindful walk, even in the room. Like, if the weather's really bad outside, you can still do something inside. So watching body language. So that's an example for in-person. And one of my favorite things to do, and it's going to sound a bit counterintuitive to mindfulness, is leveraging music. I said it just a moment ago, but you may be familiar with the song, Christine. It's called Unstoppable by Sia, and it's an earworm, but it's got a great beat to it, and it's fast, and you can really bring focus to your breath, to the sound of the beat. So those are some of the ways that I encourage folks to be mindful in hybrid, in-person, and for remote.
Yeah, so you practice your breathing, right? The music, and then you do it again. And then, yes, you are, if I may say, you're like a music therapist. You have to be able to know the tunes, you know, and that's a great song, and it gets you up. And so it's like, it's never too late to start to practice mindfulness. It helps in all your, everything that you do, whether, you know, professionally and personally.
Absolutely. You know, I just want to say a little bit about that is We live in a really fast, busy place environment. And I don't know if I shared this with you, Christine, that part of my ethnic lineage is Indigenous. So I've got Métis and Cree as part of my family history. And, connecting to self, connecting to nature, connecting to something beyond you can be really helpful to ground when you are in times of high stress, right? Finding that place that you can go to. Sometimes I also call it my happy place. So, where is your happy place? And as often as you can, go there.
That's just wonderful. And people who are listening, watching, I say that again and repeat. But if they want to reach out to you, where can they go, Michelle?
Few places for sure. I know social media is a big part of our life these days. I've got a lighter side of me on Instagram. It's just simply my name, at Michelle Precourt. I've got an active LinkedIn profile, so you can find me on LinkedIn as well. And once a month, I publish a newsletter. It's just once a month because, frankly, it's a lot of work on our end, and we don't want to fill up your inbox with stuff that you don't need or want. But if you're curious to stay in touch, what I like to say, it's also a way to kind of see what's happening behind the scenes without actually saying, "Hey, Michelle, I want to connect." So mindfulnatureservices.ca is a way to connect with me that way too.
Yes, Michelle, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to share what I do.
Yes, it's wonderful. And I'd like you to come back because I think there's more to mindfulness, right? So
It's deep. It's pretty deep, Christine, but this shouldn't scare people off. Really, if one simple thing, the next time you take a sip of water, just take a sip of water and notice that. That's being mindful.
tip. Thank you so much, Michelle, for your time today.
Thank you, Christine.
Thanks for watching. If you have a question or comment about today's episode, go to my website, runwithit.ca. Until next time, run with it.
Run With It is sponsored by Mallory's Fashion Network, The Rio Theatre, Craft Academy Hair, Dennis Wager, President of Rockbusters Incorporated, and Michelle Precourt, Mindful HR Services.